with you with everything that's God specializes in restoration, renovation, and new life, and you're holding new life and hope, peace, and joy. Amen. Praise God. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So I didn't, you know, I come early on a Sunday morning to practice a little bit on a sermon. And by the time it gets to 10:30, it's actually, I've preached it a few times. This sermon I've never preached. You're getting it cold because at the early service it was Children and Youth Sunday and it didn't preach a sermon. So this is sort of exciting for me to just see what happens, you know. Hey, let it go. But I'm happy that you're here today. Today the message is about persevering through suffering. And so it's a simple lesson in a sense of just Romans 5, just five verses. And I ask you to just open your heart. But I want to tell you that this being Father's Day, my father was, I think, I try to be like my dad. He was somebody that was just one of my heroes. He died 25 years ago, suddenly at the age of 61. And I miss him every day. But he gave me so much to cherish on Father's Day. And he loved to laugh. He would be someone that, you ever know someone like this who would, he'd have a joke to tell, but he never would get to the punchline. He would laugh he'd laugh early and in the middle, and then you end up just laughing along, like, okay, we'll just laugh. And he was just having, so that's why I'm going to say a couple more of these dad jokes, these really bad, corny puns and jokes, so you can actually use them later on today if you'd like to, whether you're able to be with your dad or just a dad yourself or grandfather or a grandmother or a mom. So I might have said some of these already because I said them at the early, so, but laugh again. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. My friend keeps saying, cheer up, man, it could be worse. You could be stuck underwater in a hole full of water, underground in a hole full of water, and I know he means well. Ba-dum-bum. Did I already say this? What is Beethoven's favorite fruit? There you go. Now, see, you know that. Ba-na-na-na-na. Did you know? Did you hear the news? FedEx and UPS are merging. They're going to go by the name FedUp from now on. All right. Let's see. All right. What else we got? What did the horse say after it tripped? Help! I've fallen and I can't giddy up. All right, that's probably good enough for right now. We'll just hold those right there. Anyways, why don't we put up this? Why don't you go to the second poster of the cat hanging on? So I want to ask you, did you have this poster when you were young? Have you ever seen this poster? Lori's nodding her head. Yeah, Nancy said she remembers it too. This, hang in there, baby. Right? I want to tell you that this sermon is about you hanging on and persevering. That you hang on, the old saying, when you find yourself at the end of your rope, tie a prayer knot and hang on. So the quick backstory of this was, it was 1970 when this poster came out, and it was part of a book called The Outcast Kitten. And this kitten, trying to be accepted by his adoptive siblings, did acrobatic tricks, believe it or not. And this chin-up image is used within the book. And so the man that put the book together owned a portrait studio. His name was Victor Baldwin in Beverly Hills, California. And in the 70s, Americans made this one of the best-selling posters. The name of the cat was Sassy. That's a good name for a cat to hang on. But it sold 350,000 copies at $2 each throughout the 70s. And I only put that there so that there could be somebody today, right now, who's hearing my voice, who's struggling. And a lot of people are good at, I'm all good, but inside they're barely hanging on. And so I want us to look at the scripture today, and we can go to the next slide. I think we probably have another hang in there, baby. It's another version of it, more modern. And I was, and in the Wikipedia for this gentleman, Victor Baldwin, it says that Sassy was not hurt in taking this photo, so animals were fine. But I want us to look at the scripture again. It's only five verses. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I love Romans 5:5. I know it by heart. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, right? Last week we lifted up the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, God with us. Best of all, John Wesley said, God is with us. And someone said to me, why didn't Jesus just stay here instead of ascending to heaven after 40 days? And why didn't he just physically stay alive here on earth for all of us? And I read somewhere, it's so that God could be with every single person around the globe, around the world, you know, every single person that the day of Pentecost had the flame over them, so that if Jesus stayed with us, God would not be able to be with every single person spiritually every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Can I hear an amen? And so when we read this, we have to go back from just verse 5. We have to say that we will suffer. How many people have suffered in your life before? You can't live without suffering, right? There's just no way. You can't physically live without physically suffering. You can't spiritually live without spiritually suffering. You can't be alive without feeling some kind of pain. And so we start off with that. And this message is all about you hanging on and trusting that your suffering will produce perseverance. That means you can learn as a person of faith that something good can come from something bad. Two people that are suffering in the same way, one's a believer and one isn't, the one who's a believer can find something redeemable, something that can be used. Rick Warren, the head of Saddleback Church, who wrote Purpose Driven Life, sold millions of copies. A few years ago, his son committed suicide because of mental illness, depression. And he took some time off. When he came back to the pulpit and he stood back up, first thing he said is, I don't want to waste this pain. And then he started to share about his brokenness and his failure to save his son, and how hard it is and how much it hurts that his son took his own life. And they started a ministry to those who battle mental illness. He took something so terrible and so awful and made something beautiful out of it. And so today, I pray that you can look at your suffering. You could be suffering today, and for a number of different reasons, you could be struggling. I pray that you know that your suffering can produce perseverance. It's like a formula. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, right? Now, no one looks for suffering, but I do know that the world we live in, and I think part of the opioid problem is that we overprescribe the whole idea that you should never feel pain, that pain is always bad, that you should always be freed from pain. Now, we know our Savior is a suffering servant, suffered on the cross. The symbol of our faith is the cross. And I love how Mother Teresa said, God doesn't give you any more than you can handle. I wish God didn't think so highly of me. And you might feel the same way. Lord, is that enough? Because I'm struggling. I remember when I thought I had chicken pox. So a number of years ago, when I was 27 years old, I was a pastor on Martha's Vineyard. And all of a sudden, I woke up and I felt so sick. And there was a big pock mark on my forehead. And I called my mother up. I said, Mom, did I have chicken pox? Oh, yeah, you had chicken pox. I made sure everybody, all the kids had chicken pox. Okay, hung up. I thought I had been bitten by a poisonous spider. And I go to the hospital, and they just about to give me antibiotics. And a doctor friend of mine said, no, you have chicken pox. Just let it run its course. And that was the worst 2 weeks physically of my life. By the time you look so terrible, so I literally looked like I had leprosy, I felt better. But the whole time, I remember just suffering so badly, and God opened my heart and expanded my empathy. to think, if I had to live like this in this pain every single day, I would probably not want to live. And I have not forgotten that. Anytime I'm ministering or sharing with someone who's suffering, God put me through something so that I could understand daily suffering, people that live every day and they struggle to just hang on. And I also learned about just receiving care and love. And I had so many, it was the only time I ever missed a Sunday service because of illness. And I had so many people that had homemade remedies. I had someone come with a whole big bucket of oatmeal. Here, take a bath in this. I'll try anything. But just to know that someone cared really was the number one thing. And at that point, when you're suffering, kindness goes a long way. And so today I want you to think about the times in your life that you've struggled and suffered and persevered. And I want to remind you of that illustration. You've probably heard it years ago. It was a man that found this large caterpillar and brought it home and put it in a terrarium and slowly watched it climb up on a stick, and then it wove the chrysalis, and then it was still, and then it started to struggle to get out of the chrysalis. And it looked like he really was struggling. It was a little hole, and he was trying to, little butterfly being transformed, little caterpillar trying to be transformed into a butterfly was struggling. The man thought, let me do something good. Let me help this poor caterpillar. And he took a little mat knife and leaned over and just cut a little bit of that chrysalis. Let me help you out, little guy. And he came out of the chrysalis and he just fell to the bottom of the terrarium, to the floor. And he couldn't fly. Because part of the struggle for a butterfly to get out of the chrysalis is the muscles that develop the wings. The struggle has a purpose, so that then when they break out, they're ready to fly. And I think God has the same idea for us in our struggles. Because when you suffer, and people have told me this and personally too, when you suffer and going through the hardest times in your life, you're at a crossroads of whether it's going to bring you closer to the Lord or away from the Lord. And I'm going to just ask you right now, what have you learned from your life experience when it comes to suffering and struggling? I throw that out there right now. I don't know if anybody's going to say a word, but crossroads are a little bit different. We let the Holy Spirit move a little bit. I bet there are some people here right now that have learned some things. It's not like you have to stand up and give a speech, but just tell me something that you have learned when you went through a difficult time. It could be something physical. It could be grief. It could be a loss of a job. It could be family issues. But what have you learned in the midst of that hardship and tribulation that brings you here today? Anybody? Anybody want to share? Mike?
How much my family supports and loves me.
How much my family supports and loves me.
Anybody? I couldn't do it without God.
Sue, I could not do it without God. Amen. Anyone else?
Carlene? I abandoned God.
Yes.
Decades,
yes. Carlene says, even though I abandoned God, God never abandoned me. Even though I was in the worst situation of my life, God was always there. Amen. Tina?
Greater faith.
Greater faith through hardship. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah. Natalie? God will send to you every person that you need to help you along the way. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Diane. God puts you where you need to be, not where you want to be. Amen. Yeah. Jenny. Empathy for others. Amen. Nancy.
Just because you're in one bad chapter is not your whole book.
Just because you're in one bad chapter of your life, it's not the whole book. It's not the whole story. Amen. Amen. Anyone else would like to share anything from your heart about what you learned? Barbara? You're never really alone. Amen. Don't you think that being alone is probably the worst kind of suffering than anything? I'll take chicken pox any day of the week. I would take a physical ailment than thinking that no one cares and you're alone. I would take that 100 times over. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't know if you know this scripture where he says, Lord, take this thorn from me. but not my will be done, but yours. And he hears Jesus say, no. You know, we don't know what this thorn is that he's suffering with. Could be, I've heard commentaries say that it could be migraines. Don't raise your hand if you have this. Migraines or back problems. Could have been a mental illness like depression. He suffered every day. He lived with this thorn in his flesh. Whatever that might be, we don't know. It could be a number of different... someone said he might have had arthritis, or arthritis, as I like to call it. Someone probably here right now is living every day with arthritis, you know, something, some condition. And he asked God to take it away, and it's the only where in the letters of Paul that you read, in the red letter edition, the words of Jesus. Jesus speaks to him and says, no, I'm not going to take this away from you. You're going to learn to live with this pain, and you're going to suffer through this. And I'm going to be closer to you. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, like today, we glory in our suffering. He says, I'm going to boast about my suffering so that when I'm weak, thou art strong. Amen. And it's a paradox. It's a strange thing because you can't tell someone who's suffering. It's sort of like you can't talk theology with someone with a toothache, right? You know, when you have a toothache, and I've had a root canal, you really can't just do anything until the pain's gone. And I'm not saying just withstand pain and don't get help. I'm saying that you can persevere. And that you can grow in character and you can have this hope. And if you read the scripture, it's beautiful. It says that we stand in grace. And if you read this, it struck home to me where it says here, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have peace amidst the storm. When Jesus rose from the dead and came to the upper room, he didn't come in the room and say, okay, now you'll never be in pain anymore. The first thing he says is, peace. I bring you peace. I leave you with peace. In this world, you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. But take heart. I've overcome the world. But in this scripture here, it says, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That means that's where we live. That's where we live every single day. We stand in that grace, and we ask God to give us strength in that grace so when things happen, when troubles come, when suffering comes, we stand in the grace, we live in it, and we believe in it. And we trust in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, nothing will separate us from the great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I just want to move to our prayer time, and we have some prayers to lift up. And I'll grab the other mic. I want to allow time for the Holy Spirit to move so that we can have a time to share from our heart. Because I believe there is somebody here today that's really struggling. And they're not letting on that they're hurting. And I pray that they hang on. Amen? Because they have a story to tell. When you go through something, you then are now someone who can testify for someone who's coming behind you. And that you can share. Hang in there. God is with you. Hear my story. Amen? Elizabeth's going to make her way forward to play a little bit for background music. And so, are there prayers that people would like to lift up at this time? And then we're going to just have a time of prayer and then close with our closing song. Amen. I just want you to know that you're not alone and God loves you. Amen. I hope you can tell somebody else that today. I think it was on Easter that I said, okay, you have to use the word hallelujah 5 times today. And someone said later on, their little son kept saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. God can take your brokenness and your suffering and make something beautiful out of it. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's let the Holy Spirit move us. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We know that Paul lived with a thorn in his flesh, and there's someone here today that's been living with suffering, and they don't understand that they can bring that suffering to the cross, and that Jesus, while we were yet sinners, died for us. And we thank you, God, that we have a Savior that knows about pain and suffering and anguish, and like this little one crying out, Lord, we do the same thing. We want to be held. We want to be nurtured and held close so that we know we're not alone. So bless all the prayers that we lift to you. Help us understand on this day that we are called to bring to you our brokenness, our suffering. We pray for the world that's going through, those in the world that are suffering for whatever reason, that we would be people that would step towards those who are suffering through injustice and heartache, those who are in need of your presence. And so, Lord, all this, we lift you with great thanksgiving for working in the sanctuary today. We thank you for Stephen and Tina and their faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that they can come to a new place of restoration, and that we can learn from our suffering, that it would get us to our knees and we give ourselves over to you again and again. So forgive us for avoiding and admitting that we are hurting and not crying out to you. We ask your blessing, Lord, on this day, on our prayers, spoken and unspoken, on this Father's Day, Lord, when we lift up those men of God who seek to be father figures for those who need to have male role models, Lord. We thank you, God, that men in this congregation right now can take on this challenge to be godly and holy and to allow you, Lord, to live in us, to bring hope to those who are hurting. All this, Lord, we lift to you. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Let's stand now. Let's sing together.